Happy New Year, Bob. We're doing good. Everything's going all right. Again, just like something about seeing the one at the end of the year. It's like, all right, it's different. Even if shit's still not perfect, it's different. Different is better at this point. We'll take what we can get. And you told me, you said, hey, we got a bunch of stuff we have to break down. There's a whole bunch of Marvel stuff and all this. And I said, I told you, I was on Twitter the other day and there was a graphic and I thought it was a mock draft. It was like a shitload of stuff. I saw like oranges and greens and I'm like, oh, this must be like a mock draft. And I like clicked on it and the first thing I saw was WandaVision. I'm like, oh, this is all Marvel stuff. So apparently there's a lot of stuff that I'm not even ready for right now to be coming up. So we have a lot to talk about. And like, that is almost like the mark of like nature is healing, is it sounds like we're going to be getting Marvel shit. Cause what did we have last year? Obviously Black Widow got knocked off. That was the infamous. All right, we'll see you next week. We're going to review Black Widow. And then the world stopped. Did anything come out last year?
No, we had nothing in Marvel Krusek. World. Yeah.
Jesus.
Right after Endgame, you know, that whole thing, it felt like the biggest like explosion ever. We just had nothing. It was literally like a wasteland for Marvel. I figured what a great time to break down all the great content we have in 2021 in the nerd world right at the start of the year. It's like a reset for us. And I have Marvel, DC, and Star Wars. I have two things from DC coming out. I have two things from Star Wars coming out, one of which being like an animated series. And then from Marvel, we have 12 things, Clem.
Jesus, 12 a dozen?
Pretty much every month of the year, we've got something coming out from Marvel. So let's start things off with some news. We just have one news article that I'd like to talk about personally, because I saw this and it just made me excited on Twitter. This is from the DC world, which I don't say all too often, where I'm like, oh my God, we've got some DC cinema news that's just knocking my socks off. But they've confirmed that going forward, Michael Keaton will be their new Batman. So he will in some way be replacing Batfleck. We know that he'll be in the new Flash movie, which is coming out in 2022. That's next year. So this is still a ways away, but they'll do some kind of Flashpoint thing. They're going to get Keaton in there. And then my hope, fingers crossed, Clem, we get a young actor in there and we get our first live action Batman Beyond. I know that's a little my era. I don't know if you were like a Batman Beyond guy, but man, I would love that.
No, I'm not a Batman Beyond guy. I know you and a few other people that I follow on Twitter, I can tell, like, really love it. So, I mean, if it passes the smell test with you guys, it's cool with me. I was shocked. I saw your tweet about Michael Keaton. It feels weird because you're going back to, I mean, like, 89, right? That's when he started with the role. But at the same point, it is such a unique situation that he kind of just got out. He disappeared. And now he's back and he's obviously still Michael Keaton. He still crushes it. I just got confused because when I saw that, I was like, wait, isn't Robert Pattinson Batman? So who's Batman, Bob?
So
who's Batman?
This is why I brought it up, because it is a bit confusing. This is for the DCEU, which as far as we know still exists. This is where all of the superheroes are connected. This is where Wonder Woman is. This is where Justice League exists. The Batman with Robert Pattinson, as far as we know, will exist more like Joker. It's going to be its own thing. We know it's not going to be a standalone thing, because I think they're banking on that being their next big franchise. They've got already an HBO Max series to go along with it that's going to follow like the cops in Gotham and how they're tracking the case and whatnot. So that's going to be separate. It's going to be, we're going to have two Batman now. Batfleck is going to go away after the Snyder Cut, and then we're going to have Michael Keaton, and we're going to have Robert Pattinson. Robert Pattinson is just going to be like, that's the Batman franchise, and Keaton is going to be the one interacting with the Flash or Cyborg, or, and maybe they're doing that on purpose. Maybe Michael Keaton, I can't see him putting the suit on, and maybe I'm crazy for that, but I think he's going to be more an elder Bruce Wayne than a Batman.
And Pattinson's obviously, like I said, it's a year after he got into the game and all that stuff, so it is a legitimate time jump. You're not having two Batmans, even though it is kind of weird. It would be like, Robert Downey Jr. was Iron Man, and then when you go to the Avengers, it was like some other dude is Iron Man, and you're like, wait, yeah, you're not that. But I can understand that, and I think DC has to figure shit out in the EU side of things. You know, the one-offs, I think they can hit, they can miss. I didn't see the Joker. There's just way too much. I loved it there, and there was a lot of I hated it. You were very unsold on it, and when Rob Fox isn't like jumping all over something, I get a little worried about it. Which I guess Wonder Woman was kind of another example of that, another DC product.
Oh man,
that was tough. I texted you too when I said I think it was Mashable. It was like Wonder Woman brings excitement in a time where there is none or hope. And I'm like, that's a review of a bad movie. Like, I could sniff it out. Like, you're trying to pussyfoot around. It was not a very good movie, but we want it to be good. And, like, we want it to do well in the box office or whatever the fuck we're calling it these days.
Yeah, there were, like, some fun things about it. Like, Pedro Pascal completely overacting in every scene and being, like, the most over-the-top 80s villain I've ever seen. Like, that was fun. And Kristen Wiig was all right. The performances individually were fine. But, like, the story, man, I don't know what they were thinking. Like, some things that got approved in that were just, like, oh, blew my mind. Even, like, some of the CGI, like, that's something that surprises me every time that I see, like, a bad CGI scene. I'm like, how is there bad CGI in 2020? Are people just not, like, on it? But the DC folk, like, weren't on it. There's one scene where she saves two kids and then, like, kind of rolls over them so that, like, they don't get hurt. And you could just tell that they're mannequins, and they just left it in the movie. It's the weirdest scene. It's so strange.
Our guy Large, too, who is, like, the biggest, like, it's one of my favorite things. I love when people have, like, random things that they just absolutely love. Like, say, I kind of like a day with Star Wars where you would never think that, you know? And Large, I mean, he grew up with Wonder Woman when it was a different time, obviously, too. And I'm sure he loved the original Wonder Woman. But he, like, he'll watch, like, I've gone to our tours with him. He just turns on Wonder Woman on TNT. I went to his house, too, a different day. Turns it on TNT and just watches it, like, with the commercials and everything. It's such, like, an old man move, but I love it about him. And he was like 1984, like, I think they had watched like five different times to try to get through it. It was so bad. And I got this tweet from someone too, at Tommy Tupoff. Any movie, it's a movie about 1984 with zero 80s music. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, what? I thought the soundtrack would at least be the thing that saved this movie.
So strange. There was no 80s music. I thought the exact same thing, especially when Stranger Things just brought it back. They had, like, Cold as Ice in it from Foreigner, and they had, like, a bunch of 80s music in Stranger Things 3. That was a big thing about it. So they made a bunch of weird decisions. I don't know what they're going to do next, because they said they're doing Wonder Woman 3, but oh my God, like, I want to see another Wonder Woman. Trust me, I'm like Large. I like the first one. I think the first Wonder Woman was great, but it was just, I don't know what went wrong. Something went wrong. A lot went wrong.
Yeah, something went wrong. I don't know if it was Corona related. I don't know how far, like, it doesn't, I don't know if the timelines match up, but I remember our podcast where we talked about the trailer when it first came out and whenever it was. And we're like, oh man, it's going to have all the sweet references. It's going to have the music. Like, it was, I think we actually said, like, Stranger Things, because that was one of the coolest parts about Stranger Things, is you felt like you were placed in the 80s in that time. And it sounds like, again, I didn't see it. But anyway, that, like, kind of going off on that tangent is, like, that is the kind of, that's like the things that they should be worrying about with this, you know, Michael Keaton and all the other people. It's like, you guys have to get your shit figured out. The one-offs, you know, they can live and die on their own, whatever. But it is kind of weird that it's going to be two different Batmans. But I mean, at this point, it's such a shit show. I don't know if this was in your rundown, but I saw that, I think the guy who's in charge of it is, like, just got renewed, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, that guy must have.
I saw that as well.
Dave Brown was, like, the worst Giants quarterback of all time when I was growing up in, like, the mid-90s. My dad's like, he must be the greatest practice player of all time because he's absolutely terrible on Sundays. And this guy is basically the same thing. I don't know if he's a smooth talker or he, like, just pitches stuff well, but I don't know how
he's got great theories like us. Like, he talks like us in the basement when they're in boardrooms.
He just gets everyone really high. And then they're like, yeah, man, that's awesome. Like, we're going to give you a raise, dude.
Speaking of getting high. The show is brought to you by 3Chi this week. Wow, what a great transition. Thanks for that one, Clem. 3Chi, if you're not aware, and I'm sorry to everyone that was expecting another Mama Fox read. We're back to my reads this week. She can't do every week. That's what makes it special. She's like Brock Lesnar in the fucking WWE, you know? 3Chi, if you're not aware, is Delta-8 THC. This is federally legal THC. It's grown in the USA, formulated by a biochemist, which I always love to say. That makes me feel like, you know, Bruce Banner's in the fucking lab cooking up some 3Chi for me. And they actually do have an Incredible Hulk strain. It's my favorite strain they've got. When people ask me, what's your favorite vape? The Incredible Hulk 3Chi. Why? Because it's called the Incredible Hulk. Like, duh, come on. 3Chi is 100% federally legal, like I've mentioned, but it will make you fail a drug test, and you do have to be 21 or older to purchase it. If you go to 3chi.com right now, that's the number 3chi.com, you can shop for Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make homemade edibles. Use the promo code MMB right now, and you will get 5% off your complete order at checkout. Clem? I just did that ad read without anything in front of me. How about that? Off the dome.
That was a memory ad read?
That was a memory ad read. I mean, if that's not an ad for 3chi in and of itself, take a little 3chi, get your brain right. You'll remember everything from your past. Boom, right there.
When I'm Podfathers, we have it. I just make sure I write the stuff down, so we make sure we hit all the bullet points that we have to hit. But every single time, like, Larger just go on his tangent, and I'm like, you nailed it. Like, all right, yeah, like, buy it. My personal is the it's the strawberry one. I don't remember the name of it, but I know it's the strawberry one. I got my little battery the other day, which I gave to somebody you'd smoke out of, and we had a nice little 3chi session. We watched Palm Springs, the one with
Hulu. It was a good movie, huh?
It was really good. We enjoyed the hell out of it. It was basically like a new age Groundhog's Day is how I would put it. With like it was delightful. High recommendation in the basement. Non-nerd movie, but a big one. My wife's like, when did this come out? Like, and I was like, it came out in the middle of quarantine. Our brains were mush. We didn't even realize it came out, and it was like, you know, streaming from the jump. So
I second that. I watched it like the week it came out. I'm a huge Andy Samberg guy. I got into Brooklyn Nine-Nine over quarantine. Hysterical show on Hulu. And I really, really liked Palm Springs. I think Glennie Balls was a big fan too. I remember talking to him in the office and Glennie Balls being like, delightful movie. It was just delightful.
That's a perfect way to put it. I didn't know if it was the 3chi. It might have been a little combination of both. So hey, you want to do that, go for it.
All right. So we got some stuff to talk about. Let's start with DC, being we kind of just talked Michael Keaton and stuff. We'll get into Star Wars, and then we'll save Marvel for last, considering they have the most stuff to talk about. DC, the first thing we're getting from them appears to be the Snyder Cut, which a little news about, which we haven't discussed. I don't think we discussed. Zack Snyder came out, and he's like, you guys don't understand how awesome the Snyder Cut's going to be. Batman says, fuck. That doesn't make me excited for the Snyder Cut. That definitely does not make – I don't need to see Batman say, fuck. That makes me think that it's going to be some kind of, like, edgelord. Like, in what way is Batman going to say, fuck, and it's going to sound, like, cool in a movie? Come on.
Yeah, this – I feel like this is one of those things people wanted. They wanted, and then he got it, and everyone's looking at you like, we probably went too far here with this. It was better in theory. I guess the other side of it is, like, I guess the people who want it, who still want it, are like, it can't get worse, right? But if that's your pitch, there's certain people I'd like to hear fuck. I don't know if Batman's very high on that list.
I'd be more interested in hearing, like, Superman say fuck. Like, yeah, when they're trying to resurrect him or something, he's just, oh, fuck. Yeah. You know?
No, all right, we need
Batman's to rock. Batman's going to, like, try to sound cool saying it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Yeah, like, everyone sounds like that with it. The Fox cut. We're going to need the Fox cut. We're going to need Superman saying fuck. Did I read this right? People are asking for a Snyder cut universe now? Is that a real thing that's going on?
Yeah. That's the other thing. DC came out and they were like, just so you know, like, we're going to release the Snyder Cut, but the content in it isn't stuff that we're looking to build on. That's just like, we're going to give you what you wanted, but the movie we put out is kind of the direction where we're looking to go. And Snyder Cut fans are pissed about that. They're like, no, you got to give us the universe now. I mean, you give them an inch, right? That's the phrase.
Like, nerds are very happy. You give them their stuff, they're happy. But, like, you've opened Pandora's box, and it's all going to just apparently just turn into anger and whatever. The thing is, just make good movies, DC. We've been asking for, like, since episode one when I came out of the podcast here. Just make good movies. We want to like you. You have the two most identifiable superheroes in the world, and you just do nothing with either of them. Like, at this rate, we haven't, like – it's like they're trying to figure out all these different Batmans. They have two Batmans, and then Superman, they're just like, ah, we'll figure that out. Like, the greatest superhero that is, you know, in the universe. It's crazy to me. We just get into this tangent every time with DC, but it's just crazy how they just screw the pooch every single time on this thing.
Well, good news. We can transition into the next DC project, which I believe will be a great movie because it's directed by our guy James Gunn and is The Suicide Squad. This is kind of a half reboot, half sequel. We don't really know how it's going to connect to the first Suicide Squad movie, but we know it's sort of going to be a complete reboot on the franchise itself. People are saying it has 70s war movie vibes. They're saying it has, like, hysterical comedy. I assume there's going to be a lot of cursing in this because it is rated R. That's not going to be cringeworthy because, as we know from The Guardians, James Gunn knows his way around some superhero dialogue. So I'm so excited for The Suicide Squad. It's got Pete Davidson, Margot Robbie's back as Harley Quinn, Idris Elba, fucking Black Superman himself, you know? I don't know. I think this is going to be maybe I'm foolish for getting my hopes up over a DC project just because James Gunn's name is attached, but I'm excited.
This is the only one out of all the DC stuff that I'm truly the Batman I'm like intrigued by for sure. I do think that could be good. This one I'm legitimately excited for. Like, this would be something I'd actually would go to see in the theater if there was theaters, or I don't know.
Yeah, this is August 6th, so who knows? We might be back in theaters by then. Fingers crossed. Yeah.
I put James Gunn as one of the few people I put all my faith in. Back when CDs were a thing and you were buying CDs, I would always, it was like Dr. Dre, Jay-Z, you know, there's certain artists that I would just get every time because I'm like, I don't feel like I'm going to walk home and be like, I can't believe I spent 15, 20 bucks on this junk. You know what I mean? I wouldn't do that with everybody. James Gunn, he has my dollars every single time. And my bad sports analogy to this is my beloved New York Knicks this could age very poorly, very quickly. We're currently very good. We're currently good. We're currently above 500. I think we're on the right path. And like some of the players, we have a couple new players, a couple rookies, whatever, but we just have a coach. We have Tom Thibodeau, and he's just a fucking good coach. He's been a good coach everywhere he is. Wasn't a great like GM or whatever in Minnesota. He's just a good fucking coach. And that's like, I think what DC is going to learn is they basically have like a good coach in James Gunn, and he's going to make the movies good. And I think this movie is so important to the entire universe because I think if it hits, they'll be like, oh, we just need James Gunn or someone like a James Gunn. But like, I think it might just change their like perspective and maybe their hiring practices. Like, let's focus on the guy at the top of the chain first. And you know, they clearly can get the actors because that fucking is a murderer's row.
Yeah, John Cena even.
Jesus, like you go down the IMDb and you're just like hit check mark. And I mean, James Gunn did it with. You know, he has Vin Diesel. You don't see Vin Diesel. He has Bradley Cooper. You don't see Bradley Cooper. He has a wrestler. He has, what's his name? Chris Pratt wasn't exactly like an A-lister at the time. He was on his way up. But yeah. That kind of is what made his mark big time on it. So I'm stoked. This is, I don't know. I mean, now that you mention it, this could be like, maybe I might be looking forward to this out of all the super or the nerdy stuff. This might be the most I'm looking forward to. And I don't know anything about the Suicide Squad. I know like the idea of it. I didn't watch any of the movies. I think I might be looking forward to this because I love Guardians. And speaking of cursing, I realized I say the F word way too much in general and on podcasts and especially this podcast. You clipped out a couple of clips and I said the F word like 18 times in like a 6 second clip. I'm like, all right, we're gonna have to change that. So I'm trying to work on myself.
You James come down Gunn, into though. The basement with like your cool friend Ra with the tattoos and you're like, fuck this guy, fuck that guy, fuck James Cameron.
Oh yeah, it was probably a James Cameron rant. Is there that snippet was from or something? Good point, but. James Gunn, like, yeah, the comedy, the even like the any kind of like gratuitous like the violence and stuff like that. I just think of, and I don't know because Guardians is such a music based movie because of, you know, Peter Quill, but I feel like he's even going to hit the music with this movie.
Yeah,
you know?
So I think this movie's going to have like a 70s soundtrack. I feel like he already said that.
Did he say? Oh, can you imagine if he had done Wonder Woman 1984? Like, there would have been 10. Awesome 80s songs and not like just like the hits that were on the, you know, number one on the Billboard. It's gonna be ones you're like, oh, that was a good song. I forgot about that song, but that's all like that's just what James Cameron, I should say, James Gunn does. So we'll go through the Marvel stuff and everything else in the Star Wars, but I think this is my number one most look forward to project, and I couldn't care less about DC in any other aspects of life.
You know what I'll be interested to see going forward? If this is a big hit, how James Gunn will, you know, juggle both Marvel and DC at the same time, because he's coming back to Marvel now. He signed up for this when Marvel fired him, if you remember correctly.
Yep.
So now it's like he's doing the show Peacemaker with John Cena, which is a spinoff of this, for HBO Max, for DC. But now he's also doing stuff for Marvel. So it's like that guy is just being pulled in all directions.
That does concern. Like, I do not want to lose James Gunn in Marvel. You know what I mean? Like, and the thing is, like, I'm sure Disney doesn't either, and like Mickey Mouse's pockets are bigger than anything DC has. They'll just buy DC, be like, all right, now you can work for both. You can work for all of us. I really don't want to lose him, and even if it's just Guardians, it's like if he ever goes to the rival studio, it actually would probably be good. Now that I think about it, it would be like, you know, when Vince Russo went to WCW and like, he didn't make them better. He made them kind of worse. But it's good to have competition, right? Like the Monday Night Wars, that was good for wrestling. This would be good for the comic stuff. But. Man, I just love the Guardians so much. I'd hate to like not have him have his full devotion towards it, but it might be best in the long run if he kind of, because I feel like what's his name? Feige is going to be the head of Marvel. And I feel like this, I feel like he could be the head of DC if he wanted to. I don't know if Gunn has that in him though. I don't know if he has the same, like, I feel like the guy who's in charge of Superman, Batman has to be someone like you who has like the passion. Like you're a Batman guy first and foremost, you would never know it, but it's like, they've just given you nothing to fucking get behind. Right. Yeah,
exactly. Like since I've been at Barstool, we haven't necessarily had Batman releases that I could be like, I'm blogging about this one. It's awesome. Like some animated stuff, but yeah, it just hasn't been, it's been a little bleak in the years since Christopher Nolan took care of it.
Yeah.
All right. Star Wars. We've got two things and two things that we could be brief on because we've talked about so much in our Mandalorian recaps and stuff, but we've got the Bad Batch, which is that animated series that we talked a little bit about, and we've got the Book of Boba Fett coming in December. The Bad Batch, I don't think we even have a month on. They just said 2021, and then Book of Boba Fett still for December 2021, right at the end of the year. Obviously, the Book of Boba Fett we're looking forward to. I was just texting my cousin about this the other day, because he just watched the Mandalorian finale. He didn't get anything spoiled for him. So it was like kind of fun for me to get to talk about it again with someone that had just seen it. And I said, did you see the post-credit scene? And he was like, fuck, no. And I was like, all right, go back. Watch the post-credit scene. He had to go back. He watched it. And then I said, I would love to have some real gangster movie vibes in this. The same way Mando has Western movie vibes. Like, let's see some Goodfellas shit going down at Jabba's palace. Let's see like Boba throwing a casino night just to get like intel on some weird ass alien, and then he's introducing them to his cousin Paulie or something. You know, I want to see, give me the Italian gangster vibes from the Book of Boba Fett.
I would like that too, if like we can kind of get out of the whole Western side of it. That would actually be a nice change of pace. And for people that got sick of the way the Mandalorian was like structured and stuff, you can do whatever you want. It's a completely different story. So yeah, sign me the fuck up for that. That was a well-placed fuck. I really wanted to emphasize how much I want to see that. I'm 100% in on that idea, Bob. I'm a big fan of it.
And I don't know if we stressed this when we talked about it last time, but the Book of Boba Fett will have involvement from Robert Rodriguez as well. It's going to be a trio. So it'll be Robert Rodriguez, Jon Favreau, and Dave Filoni, which, talk about a dream team right there. I love it. He just crushed that Boba Fett episode. He really nailed the tone. And if you watch the behind-the-scenes documentary, there's a great scene in it where he talks about trying to storyboard out Boba's arrival when he first puts the gear on, the first puts the armor on. And he was like, fuck, I can't like get this right. So he grabbed his kids. He grabbed his Star Wars action figures. And he's like, come to the backyard. And he filmed it on his iPhone with his kids. And it's like shot for shot what went into the show. It is awesome. So it just made me love Robert Rodriguez even more.
Wow, that's sick. And again, with Robert Rodriguez, I feel like you want to get like a little bit of the grimy, more intense like kind of stuff. You're going to get that with him if he's attached to the project. Like, I think it's pretty safe to say we're going to get that. So, man, I mean, that's a super team right there. It's the big three. So,
yeah.
Now I'm like, I think that might trump the Suicide Squad. The Suicide Squad is just a quick one where Book of Boba Fett. Do we know how many episodes it is?
No, we don't know yet.
Okay.
It might be a full season, might be a mini series, might be, you know, who knows? And then Bad Batch, the one thing I'll note on this, which we don't have to talk about it a ton, Fennec Shand is confirmed making an appearance in it. So I think, considering the timing, they'll probably give us a little backstory on her leading into the Book of Boba Fett.
Okay.
Because it's a prequel to that.
Okay. And again, you just make these little threads, make them connect. I mean, Marvel did it flawlessly down, you know, and I'm sure there's probably shit that people have never even noticed in old movies and stuff like that. You're doing that now with Star Wars, and that's kind of the way you build an entire universe. So even like these shows that I'm not like stoked for, that sign me up. Things are getting better. We're not going to be clear from here for a while. So there's been plenty of time to watch new TV and different movies and stuff like that.
All right, Marvel, let's get into it. First off, let's talk about this stuff coming out, not in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but the Sony Cinematic Universe, which I'm not super into. I never saw Venom. Still to this day, I haven't seen Venom.
Me either.
Maybe we'll do that one day. Maybe we'll do a Venom podcast. All right, so Morbius coming out March 19th. This is the Jared Leto kind of vampire, superhero, anti-hero movie. This was supposed to come out before, you know, during the pandemic. And the trailer actually looked pretty cool. I'll admit, like, I'm not the biggest, like I said, Sony, Marvel Universe guy. I feel like the movies have been kind of eh, but trailer looked good. And then the next one is the sequel to Venom, which I'm very interested in because as a kid, I always thought Venom and Carnage were really cool. The sequel is called Let There Be Carnage, comes out June 25th, starring Woody Harrelson as Carnage. So that intrigues me. I'm not, you know, over the moon excited for these. I'm not going to be first in line for either of them, I don't think. But I'm definitely going to see Let There Be Carnage. Maybe we'll do a Venom pod before that one.
Yeah, Venom and Carnage, they were two of my – I was a huge Spider-Man guy growing up, but I always thought Venom was cool as shit and then Carnage as well. So if it's like – but the, like I was so excited for Venom, and then like once the reviews were kind of lukewarm, I was like, eh, like – because it's just, you know, it's a two – and at that point, you're going to the movies for everything. I was like, I don't know if I want to waste 2 hours, God knows how much money and whatever. At that point, I'm already a dad, so I'm like trying to balance the new child in my life. It just seemed like a lot, but I want these things to be good. I really want them to be good, especially when you have – like Spider-Man's back on track now. You could kind of just weave everything together. It would be awesome.
There's rumors that Tom Holland's making a cameo in that one too.
Really? Nice.
If they're opening up the Spider-Verse and Spider-Man 3, you could definitely figure out a way to make that happen.
So, I mean, Spider-Man has, you know, some great villains, the Green Goblin and, you know, Sandman and a bunch of others. But like, I don't know. I always kind of gravitated towards Venom. I just liked him. I thought he was a badass dude. And it's
I think about those Marvel cards from the 90s, like the Venom card, the Carnage card. Those were the coolest.
Yes, big time. And even like playing with them in the video games, like Venom was a badass dude in the video games. So, I mean, just knock this one out of the park. Don't even knock it, like a solid double, stand-up double. That's what I'm asking for, Sony.
Yes. All right, let's talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the Marvel, I guess, television universe at this point. First up, WandaVision, like we discussed, coming up January 15th, basically a week from now. We've got The Falcon and the Winter Soldier coming up March 19th, and then Loki in May. These are, I mean, that's for the spring. And then I'm even looking down the line. Hawkeye and Miss Marvel are both coming this year as well. Hawkeye in fall and Miss Marvel in late 2021.
Where are they filming all this stuff? Like, how did they get away with that?
I think they're filming Hawkeye right now, which is kind of crazy. Of those, WandaVision, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki, Hawkeye, and Miss Marvel, which one are you the most excited for?
I think it still has to be WandaVision. My biggest the thing that gave me the most pause with WandaVision is I think it can really get like a little crazy and it might be like a little above my head. But then I watched one of the newer, maybe the newest trailer or whatever, a teaser. And you can kind of see, like, I think they kind of give you glimpses of what's really going on as it's all happening. I feel like the first episode or second episode, it just might be, it almost might feel fillery. It's just going to be a lot of stuff. But I do think the payoff's going to be worth it. I think they're going to give you enough, you know, breadcrumbs along the way to make it worth your while. So I kind of like, it kind of got me a little even more excited for it in the end. Even though it's not going to be maybe as superhero-y as some of the other projects that are going on here. But I think it's still that for me. What about you?
I think it's probably still that for me as well. I mean, I'm super excited for the Winter Soldier show. I just rewatched Winter Soldier like this past week, the movie. Mm-hmm. And it was my first time watching it in probably 2 or 3 years. That's a damn good movie. I forgot how like espionage-y and like James Bourne-y it is. But man, I was like really, really like delighted with watching the Winter Soldier. If you haven't watched that in a few years, listeners, go back. Give that a watch on Disney Plus.
I will say for me personally too, I kind of want to see Miss Marvel because I don't really know much about her. I know she's like a newer superhero. My daughter always loved playing with her in the Lego video game. So she's always been like, and like, it's so weird how she's like trying to understand Captain Marvel and Miss Marvel and why they're both named Marvel. I'm like, yeah, I don't know either. Like they just ran out of names. Everyone's a captain or everyone's a Mr. or Mrs. Like they just didn't really have like back in the 70s, I guess when a lot of these things came up, they just all stuck with the same thing. But I am kind of interested to see if that could be like a surprise hit. Cause you know, we kind of, even though like, all the other shows could be good. Actually, you know, Loki. I'd say Loki's my number two. Loki's,
I mean, Loki looks awesome. From the trailer, like everything about it, the D.B. Cooper point in the trailer, like everything about that is completely my shit. We're going to get Glennie Balls in the pod to talk about Loki with us. Because
yes!
he's been talking up Loki like it's crazy. He's like, oh, I love history. I'm such a history buff. So when that comes out, we're going to get Glennie.
Are you a history guy? I'm a huge – that's the other thing, too. I'm a huge history. I think my – when I was a kid, I wanted to be a history teacher. That was, like, one of my things.
I bet you would be a great history teacher. Like, you would be the teacher that signs the every kid's yearbook and, like, writes, like, such a heartwarming message that when people look back, they're like, oh, Mr. Clem, he was the best. I would call myself a history guy, but not in the terms of like, I'm not very knowledgeable about it, but every time I learn about it, I'll do the Wikipedia deep dives. I'll go down the rabbit hole. Like, I'm very fascinated by that guy.
Oh, nothing beats when you go to like a movie that's based on real events. Like, you know, I saw the Churchill movie and I'm like, went home and I'm like reading about like 1930s Britain and shit like that.
Like, I'm that kind of history guy. Exactly. Like, if I watch a movie based on the true story, I got to look up everything about the true story, stuff like that. I love the American Revolution. That's like my favorite point in history. Hamilton is like completely my shit and stuff like that.
True.
All right. Ready to get deja vu, Clem?
All right. Let's get weird.
Black Widow coming out this year.
Oh God, I just had a chill go down my spine.
Yeah, May 7th, Black Widow. I don't know, I'm still excited for it. Still looks good. It's still like a fucking Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. I still feel like I have to say about it what I said last year, in that like, if you're not excited for this, just remind yourself, like, Marvel doesn't make bad movies. This isn't like, oh, what if it's like Wonder Woman? Like, what if the story doesn't make any damn sense? Like, no, this is going to be awesome. We're going to figure out what happened in Budapest. We're going to get some cameos. We're going to get some teases. We're going to get a good performance from fucking Scarlett Johansson, no doubt. Like, I'm very excited for Black Widow. I wish it wasn't so far away. May 7th feels like it's forever away.
Yeah. And I was going through some old blogs the other day, and I forgot I blogged about how they said that to like make – NBA players want to go to the bubble. They were going to have their families there and they're going to show like Black Widow. I'm like, did they watch? Is it wrapped? Did people actually see Black Widow yet? Like, what happened with that? Because
I forgot
that was
about
a year
that.
Ago.
Yeah, right? You're right. I completely forgot about that.
I mean, I'm sure it wasn't like a definite, maybe it was just reported and never happened, but it's like, do people just know what happened in Black Widow right now? But yeah, you said it. Like, you feel like there's a floor with Marvel movies, and it's much higher than the floor of a DC movie. And even if you're not like a diehard Black Widow fan, I think it'll be enough Marvel-y stuff in there. It'll be a fun enough movie. They have to like make like one more trailer, make it just really good, just because it's like you've already had the hype. The hype of the trailer has died down in the last year.
You got to remind us.
Yeah, exactly. You got to remind us why we were so excited the first time.
All right. So we've got What If coming this summer as well. Yes. This is up there for both of us in terms of shows we're most excited for, and it's even raised since we last did our podcast. I've gone back, I've watched the trailer a few times, like the animation style, everything about this, I think it's just going to be completely my shit. This will be, when we recap this, the real three cheap pods.
Ooh, we'll go through the what ifs, then we'll come up with our own what ifs. Those are going to be, yeah, we're going to have to get the Incredible Hulk strain of 3T for those episodes for sure.
All right. And then finally, the last slate of movies for 2021 coming from Marvel. I'll lay out all three of them for you. We could discuss all three. July 9th, my birthday, we're getting Shang-Chi. November 5th, we are getting Eternals, which has, talk about a star-studded cast, just through the whole line, crazy cast. And then December 17th, I didn't realize this was this fucking year, Clem. December 17th, we're getting Spider-Man 3. This is like the Spider-Man that we're talking about, like Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield coming back and Jamie Foxx and possibly fucking Willem Dafoe. And like this year, could you imagine? I mean, that would be the true, if we can get coronavirus done with, if we could fucking snap coronavirus away like with Thanos, but not at 50% of it, 100% of the coronavirus, fuck all of it, and get back into theaters by December, could you imagine? That would be the movie to bring everyone back. Like, you think that, oh, the Eternals, I'm sure the show up is going to be great. Shang-Chi, I'm sure the show up is going to be great. December, when coronavirus is done, you're talking about the Spider-Verse live action? Come on.
You know what? I was thinking it before when we were talking about it, and I was thinking how much, like, not cooler it would have been, but, like, it would have been almost like living in real life if Infinity War came out when Endgame came out, right?
Yeah.
And then we had this whole world, and then Endgame never comes out when it did in 2019. If Infinity comes out in 2020 before coronavirus hits, then we're just in this wasteland of life that we've been living in. And then Endgame was the movie we returned with. Can you imagine that? It would have been like real life. I'm getting goosebumps just saying. I mean, I got goosebumps on goosebumps watching it when like the world was normal before and afterwards. I couldn't imagine if that, you know, that fucking first portal opened. Goosebumps as I say this right now. So Spider-Man 3, don't fuck this up, because I had no idea it was coming out this year. I feel like we're still getting like confirmation that these guys are in the cast. How are they filming these guys? Are they on Fight Island right now?
Where I know. Are they even filming? Is it? Did they start? Are they in the middle of it right now? Like, what the fuck is going on? I saw a picture on Twitter of Tobey Maguire, like, getting out of a car, and someone's like, oh, he's at a costume fitting right now. I was like, how the fuck do you know that? You just got out of a car with a Starbucks cup. Like, the internet is undefeated when it comes to speculation on comic book movies and Star Wars movies and stuff like that.
Big time. I will say this. I want at least one little nod to the preposterousness that was Spider-Man 3, whether it's, you know, a little dance move or he has the fucking dark hair, whatever it is. I need the goth Peter Parker at least for like 2 seconds. And I, like you said, if Marvel wasn't lending a hand with this movie, I'd be very concerned, because I feel like you can do this really well or really poorly. I feel like if they're involved, which obviously they are, because like that whole thing with Tom Holland where he's crying and making sure everyone's on the same page, I feel like everything's going to be all right because of that. But like, to the people at Sony, if you're listening, if you're shooting this, how are you shooting this? Be safe. But also, let the people from Marvel cook. Those guys are the fucking cooks in the kitchen. You guys are the ones who got blessed with this franchise. Just don't fuck it up, because like, this could go really badly, because every time we see Andrew Garfield on screen, we're like, that's not Spider-Man. I don't care what movies came out. I didn't see those. You didn't see them either, right?
No, I saw the Andrew Garfield. I saw, I don't think I ever saw the complete second one. The first one I saw like on opening night in the theaters. It was midnight showing at that point still. And the fucking projector like died out during the trailers. So we were just staring at a blank screen. I swear this is a true story. My friend Dom can confirm it. We're staring at a blank screen. My friend Dom is like, fucking put your phone flashlight on. I was like, what? He's like, put the phone flashlight on. I put it on and he goes like this by the screen. And it made the silhouette of a spider, and the whole theater cheered there. Everyone, it was one of my best theater experiences ever. It was everyone.
Good work, Dom. Jesus.
Yeah, it was amazing. Dom, shout out to him. He is the secret studio drummer on Back to School.
Nice.
So there you have it for a little Easter egg from the basement there. That's it, though. That's it for the Marvel, Star Wars, and DC recap. Not even recap.
Eternals thumbs up. I'm excited for Eternals. Oh, yeah. I will I'm say that. I don't know anything about Kumail, it, but I'm excited.
Kumail is fucking jacked for that movie. Angelina Jolie's in it. I think Salma Hayek's in it, too. I mean, it should have.
My guy, the king of the North, Rob Stark. I'm still bummed that he was. Fucking
Rob Stark's in it,
so
too.
Much.
Yeah. Shit. He was good in 1917. Brief role, but really good.
Oh, and Jon Snow's in it, too. We have this cast is ridiculous.
Jon Snow and Rob Stark are in it?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Angelina Jolie, Gemma Chan, I don't know her, Salma Hayek, and then, yeah, our boy was ripped to shreds and is fucking juicing. It's crazy. Yeah.
All right, everyone. Here's one ask of all the listeners. If you've made it this far, to start off 2021, give us a rating and review on iTunes if you haven't already. I looked the other day. We're just below 2,000. I would love to be above that for 2021. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for that. Or thanks for that. I don't know. Bad outro.
Shout out, Dom. Shout out, Dom. Let's give Dom a hand of applause. Hand of applause for Dom.